This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every filling in for Joel and Barry today. They decided to take the day off, you know?
Slackers.
I'm operating with a bit of a cold here. We play hurt here on The Usual Suspects. You know, minimal cold is just meaningless. My wife would say man cold.
Get over it is what she says.
Pretty much. Yep. Yeah, that's about where it goes. I couldn't breathe last night. I was so congested. I had to go to CVS or Walgreens at 2 a.m.
Ooh, that's not good.
That wasn't fun.
But you still made it here like a soldier.
Exactly. You know, we get so few shots. You get one opportunity. You gotta make it count.
Is that an Eminem reference?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
I just wanted to make sure I caught it.
I had one point I wanted to make on the Tom Herman discussion we were having. And the impact on the youth that he had before we put it to bed. None of this happens if LSU doesn't fire Les Miles in the middle of the season. If they would have just waited till the end of the season, the Tom Herman discussion can be tabled until bowl season.
Because that was a big fork, right?
Yeah, I was hoping we were going to get out of this unscathed, or I was going to get out of this conversation unscathed, and I knew somebody was eventually going to bring that up. But yeah, we're
so you're clearly an LSU fan. You went to Tulane.
Yeah.
But you're an LSU fan, grew up in Louisiana.
Yep.
How do you feel about Ed Orgeron? Legitimately.
Honestly,
yeah.
I thought that it would be a good hire because I wanted him to be more or less how Arizona State has Herm Edwards right now, but then they end up losing their offensive and defensive coordinator. I thought he would be a good figurehead. He's a great recruiter, which he's proven to do at USC and Ole Miss when he was there until they made him head coach at Ole Miss. And I thought that he could serve as that figurehead as long as Canada and I forget the defense coordinator's name. But as long as those guys handled the offense and defense, I thought he would be okay.
Is it Matt Patricia? Is that the defense coordinator?
No, it's
anyway, it doesn't matter.
The guy from Wisconsin.
You thought he would be the CEO and handle it.
Exactly.
But
I thought he would be able to delegate.
Ed Orgeron is the classic case of a guy who should never be a head coach somewhere. He's a great interim head coach. I mean, when he was interim head coach at USC, he killed it. When he was interim head coach last year at LSU, he killed it. He's just not – I mean, look what he did at Ole Miss.
Exactly.
And that's not – Ed Orgeron is – one of the best recruiters as an assistant that's ever existed in college football.
Yes, definitely. And the main thing is like when they lost some of the talent that they lost off of last year's team, I said, okay, they lost Leonard Fournette. They lost Trevin Durrell. They lost Malachi Dupree. You know, they lost a couple of offensive linemen. I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Maybe they won't be as good offensively, but they still have a ton of talent there. They still have enough to get it done. On defense, same thing. They lost Tre'Davious White. They lost the linebacker for the Falcons, Duke Riley. They lost a few key guys there. But I thought that they would still have enough to get it done.
One thing we can always count on, LSU defense will always reload, or we think we can count on, and somehow a 4- or 5-star quarterback at LSU will look very pedestrian.
Not even a 4- or 5-star quarterback. They could have like a 7-star quarterback, and he's going to look like, you know, a 10th round draft pick.
Look, I said it last year. The reason, or one of the things you can look at with the LSU quarterback situation, Danny Etling couldn't play at Purdue. And he's going to lead LSU? He transferred away from Purdue.
Right, because
nothing against the Boilermakers, but when was the last time you remember Purdue being relevant? Drew Brees? I mean, legitimately. So that's the only thing I put on that. And I kind of like LSU. I wanted to go to LSU because I couldn't get into Texas when I graduated high school. And my dad said no. He said, you're not going to go party at LSU. So he sent me to Southwest Texas. That was a big difference in party culture.
Yeah.
So good call there. But that's what, you know, what happened. I'd like to see LSU be good. I'm a big SEC hater because I think they've not quite earned to be as thought thought of as that. Look, they had the 6 consecutive BCS championships.
Yeah.
I can poke a hole in every one of those champions except for the LSU-Bama rematch. Those were the 2 best teams. An SEC team was going to win the championship that year.
Right.
Every other one I can poke a hole in. Now, we have a 2-loss LSU that won a national championship that maybe shouldn't have been there over USC. We have the Florida year where I think we should have had a Texas-Oklahoma rematch in 2008. I thought that would be Alabama wins in 2009 when Colt McCoy goes down in the first quarter. We got all these, and that's not to say the teams weren't deserving of winning championships. Mm-hmm. They certainly were. You win a championship by being good enough to win a championship. But there are circumstances that we would call tangential. They're off on a tangent that helped lead to those things.
But the other thing, too, is a lot of those teams, and I'm an SEC honk. Because I think that they're a great football conference, and people don't traditionally like that style of football that the SEC brings. But what they have to understand is when you look at the SEC, don't look at them as a whole as they're grinded out and 3 yards in a cloud of dust conference. Look at what Auburn does. Look at the offense that Florida tried to bring in. They just didn't have the personnel for it. LSU tries to get creative now, but before they were the same as Alabama. They were pound it.
Sure.
Bama got a little creative when Lane Kiffin was there calling plays. They were a little bit different. I mean, they aren't all just, you know, line up, eye formation.
Tennessee runs straight out of the spread.
Exactly.
South Carolina with Muschamp runs straight out of the spread.
And Spurrier had
Missouri had the best Missouri had the best offense in the conference this year.
Right.
And Drew Locke looks like an absolute stud.
And they throw the ball 40 or so times a game up there in Missouri.
He threw 49 touchdown passes this year.
Same thing. A&M runs a lot of spread.
Well, they're going to go back to pro formations with Jimbo. But
definitely.
They're going to be more pro style. But you're right. And that's not the thing I have a problem with. The problem with is last year, everybody not named Alabama had 4 losses.
Yeah, so you had a year in which last college football season, it was the best of the rest in Alabama.
Sure.
That's what it looked like.
And this year we have Georgia, who got destroyed by Auburn, and then comes back and beats them in the SEC title game. So they were fortunate enough they had their good game when it really mattered in the SEC title game. Otherwise, it'd be Auburn that's in the playoff and not Georgia. And then we have an Alabama team who we're not quite sure how good they are because of the schedule they played. Mm-hmm. They refused to go on the road to play anybody. They only play neutral site non-conference games against decent opponents. Nick Saban gets the benefit of the doubt because he's the greatest coach of our living generation.
Right.
But, And
one thing that – just to add to that before we get to this next caller. Alabama – I thought deserved to be there. This is just my opinion.
Over I agree Ohio with you, State actually.
Because that Iowa loss, I can't get this thing of that
you can't,
Iowa
you can't
loss
lose
out of
2
there.
Games by double digits.
Back to back.
And get in. No, I agree. You can't lose a single game by 35 and get in. And Georgia barely gets in under the gun on that, by the way, because they got trounced. But they're also the SEC champion. So there's
and Georgia had what we call a timely loss, where they lost and they had enough time left in the season to make up for that loss. And it just so happens that the most important game of the season was a revenge game against the one team that they lost.
Well, they also didn't, even though they got destroyed, they didn't lose to a 6-win Iowa team.
Exactly.
By 34 points or whatever it was. Is that Gary we got? Greg. Greg, we got you on the line with the usual suspects. How you doing, Greg?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Doing well. How you doing?
First of all, I'm listening to ESPN Radio, but I can only listen in the morning, and I catch the Blitz in the afternoon because of my work schedule. So great to talk to you guys. Who was the one that had the grandfather with Popeye's chicken interest in it?
That was me.
Man, I swear to God, I probably would never eat Popeye's again because that would hurt my heart. I just wanted to say that. That would hurt my heart.
That's why we didn't have it. We were not allowed to have it in the house until I was 17 years old. So, it was sickening. So, to my dad, at least, it was sickening. I really didn't understand the concept until my dad told me the story at 17. So,
that's a hurtful thing.
It hurts.
But I'm going to get on some NFL real quick.
Okay.
Now, I'm a 49er fan living in Texas. Been a 49er fan all my life. Now, we got Garoppolo, and Garoppolo has been awesome these last couple of weeks. 4 wins. You know, we're going to play the Rams. I think the Rams are going to sit Goff, and they're going to sit Gurley for the playoffs. So we're probably going to take that win. We were looking at Kirk Cousins in the beginning of the season. Kirk has also said he wants to be with the Washington. So, hey, go do what you do. You know, we went 0-9, and then we started to win. Now, with this win, we're still going to be in the top 5 pick of the draft. I'm thinking that we should trade off that top 5 pick because we got our franchise quarterback. You know, our receiver's good win and everything's been going good. If we were to trade off that top 5 pick to get some picks because we're looking at the offensive line, a couple of defensive adding, who would or what would we trade the pick for and who would be interested in taking that pick? That's what I want to know because we have the cap space, you know, we're the top cap leader, and we franchise Garoppolo for $25 million. We still have the cap lead to get some free agencies, and we've been looking at people want to come, receivers want to come. I know we need a top receiver. We need some more defensive backs. What would you think about that? And I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Hey, good job. Y'all doing a good job.
Appreciate it, Greg. Greg, we will answer your question on the other side of a break. We're kind of up against it here. I promise you when we come back, we will answer the question. Sorry about that.
We're going to get to it. Don't worry.
But we'll definitely address it right when we come back. Thank you for listening. Jermaine, Craig, Nick, we are the usual suspects for today and tomorrow at least. This is ESPN 97.5. Yep.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No Joel, no Barry. Yes to Nick. Thank goodness. He's the rock that keeps this thing going. You are the anchor of this show.
Oh, that is too much credit, but appreciate the kind words.
Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every on the fill-in task for today. It's been fun. It's been good.
We've had a good time.
Jermaine and I have not been on the radio together before, so we had to jump into it pretty quick. I thought it worked out pretty well so far, so I like it. We're going to address Greg, his call that we hit just before the break. He wanted to know about the 49ers draft. He thought they should trade the pick. Mm-hmm. He said they'd be a top 5. I did some research while we were away at break. I think they're going to be picking more, especially considering Greg had him penciled in for a win this weekend. Mm-hmm. They would be 6-10. I think they're going to be picking more in the 7-8 range, if that's the case.
They could even be picking lower than that, just depending on the way the tiebreakers work, because this projection right here has them drafting at 8, but right below them are the Bears, who also 5-10. The Bengals are also 6-9.
Yeah, I didn't have the Bengals. I think they could pick as low as 9 and as high as 5.
Something like that.
Depending upon how it goes.
Depending on
and, what and goes, that's a yeah. big difference as far as they go. I'm going to take them at about 7 or 8 just because
that's in the safe house.
That's the safe house. I don't think they need to trade away the pick. I think the 49ers need to take a difference maker just because they have some receivers that have performed this year. The offensive line is a bit of an issue, but the offensive line talent at the top of the draft is not great this year.
Right. We talked about it over the break, and we all think like Connor Williams, Orlando Brown, and
the kid out of Notre Dame whose name
Nelson.
I was there you
Quentin
go
Nelson.
They are the guys, but most mock drafts have them in the 10-20 range,
exactly.
not in the top five.
You don't see one of those earth movers. You don't see a Jonathan Ogden in this draft.
You don't see
any of those guys where you're just like a surefire. This guy goes top 3. And he's going to be your starting left tackle, right tackle, left guard, whatever it is for the next 10 to 12 years. You don't see that.
If I'm the 49ers and I'm taking, and this is going to sound like a total homer pick, but he's a guy with a top 10 grade anyway. Mm-hmm. Sideline to sideline, great tackler. They need help at the linebacker position. I'd take Malik Jefferson.
You know what? I probably would not mind that, just depending on the way he works out.
Yeah,
What are his workout numbers saying? What are his actual measurements?
He has turf toe right now, which is why he won't play tonight.
So how
does he come back from that injury? All that stuff is left to be seen. Mm-hmm. We haven't even gotten to the combine yet, so we don't have issues. Although most analysts in sports think this is silly. I think it's silly as well. we're judging a sport where people have pads and helmets and are physical with one another. We judge their draftability when they're not touching anyone else, when they're not, you know, engaged with anyone else in shorts, shirts, right, and tennis shoes.
The Underwear Olympics.
The Underwear Olympics, as it's called. And,
you know, it's just, it's so subjective.
It is.
And the thing that bothers me about draft analyzation, and I do it myself just because I like to, you know, research it and look at film and different things like that. But when people pass off an opinion as fact or gospel, that's the part that bothers me. When they say this kid is a top five pick, you know, they said the same thing about Jake Locker. Jake Locker is going to be the number one overall pick when he comes out. He was a bust. You don't know what that kid's going to be like. You can say, I think he could be, or this or that. But when you start to pass it off as fact and gospel, that's when it starts to bother me a little bit.
It almost sounds like those gambling line commercials. He's a five-star stone cold lead pipe lock.
Yes.
To be.
Yes.
This is my call in now, and I'll give you who your number one overall pick should be. Right. I mean, that's the idea behind it. And you're right. It's a little silly to talk about anyone as if they're the next great thing, or
right,
if they're not. I mean, it's low-hanging fruit to say no one had Tom Brady as being the greatest quarterback of all time.
Joe Montana, same thing.
Same.
I mean, we could go back in history. You know, there's a ton of guys that littering the Hall of Fame that were never drafted in the first or second round.
And let's be honest. First-round picks have a higher success rate than sixth-round picks or any other round. That's just that's what it is. You're taking them because they've shown at the college level
right,
that they can compete and be great. So you have a better chance, but you have to get it right at the top end of the first round. Look, the Cleveland Browns are on an unbelievable streak of getting it wrong in the first round.
And you know what? I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I said the Cleveland Browns have the opportunity to become the L.A. Clippers of the NFL. Where the Clippers were so bad for so long and they kept getting it wrong till eventually they just happened to fall into the right pieces and the right things started to fall in place for them to put together a playoff team.
How dare you besmirch the name of Michael Olowokandi? How dare you, sir?
Hey, the candy man can't.
No,
he never could. I don't know why people thought
they get it way more wrong at the NBA level than they do at the NFL, too. I mean,
Anthony Bennett.
Hasheem Thabeet was a top three pick.
Anthony Bennett was the number one overall
pick. Yeah. No. I mean,
enough said.
That was a really weak draft class, though, to be horrible.
Horrible.
Really, really bad. Who's the marquee player from that? Tristan Thompson went 4 overall to Cleveland.
Right.
Is he the marquee player out of that draft?
A guy that got a max contract just because LeBron James said so. Because
they have the same. Yeah. Because they have the same agent.
Exactly. You know, another player.
Should we call him Mrs. Khloe Kardashian at this point? That's taking over his life, right?
Might as well. He should change his name to Tristan Kardashian. Thompson Kardashian.
And carry way more cachet than Tristan Thompson does.
I saw on Twitter someone, I think Blake Griffin's spouse or ex-girlfriend or something like that, apparently reported that she or said that Blake Griffin wanted the Kardashian life, and so that's why they split. So these players want to be they want that Kardashian lifestyle, man.
It's building a brand. And look, Tristan Thompson's my dude. That is a Texas Longhorn former player. That's my dude. But, you know, sometimes you're living right. So, and it's not, if he's happy, he's happy. Good for him. That's not my place to judge a man on what makes
it's
him
still
happy.
Fun but, to make fun of him for being with the Kardashians.
The Kardashians have ruined more athlete careers, at least perception based.
Right.
Than anyway. I mean, Miles Austin, did he do anything after being rumored being with
nothing?
Harden is probably the only survivor, right?
Because why?
She
cut
left
the
him.
Cord. He cut. What? Supposedly, he. I think oh, he cut the
okay,
cord.
Okay, so maybe, but she chose to go back with Lamar Odom after
right.
his drug fueled sex romp in Las Vegas or in Nevada somewhere.
That she probably drove him to because just that family, that lifestyle.
It is what it is. I don't want to spend any more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the perfect example of why we have ADD. We started off talking about the 49ers draft pick, and somehow we ended up on
Kardashians.
That's the beauty of doing this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yep.
I think you kind of have to have ADD to be in this business. You have to be.
You do.
You have to be able to concentrate on the deal. And I think we answered Greg's question for the record. Yeah. Neither of us think the 49ers should trade the pick. Right. We both think they should take someone at a position of need. So that's your answer. But
I would love to see, honestly, if they do trade the pick, one of those quarterbacks would have to fall, and the team would have to fall in love with one of them to jump up and get them. Or somebody like
but
a Saquon.
But neither of them are falling
like
to 7 or 8 anyway. No, so it doesn't matter at that point. Someone's going to jump up and take Rosen or Darnold if they dangle.
Rosen and Darnold come out and they go 1-2, I could see somebody making that move for Josh Allen.
Baker Mayfield's going to test really well from an accuracy standpoint.
Yes, he is.
I don't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback, but he's going to test really well. It'll be interesting to see where he goes with all the character issues. I don't know.
If he doesn't do well, he could always go the Manziel route and be crazy and make money that way,
right? There you go. That's true. When we come back, we'll talk about college football playoff. We haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah, we got to get into it.
Yep. Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Avery, Nick Sciarra, one third of the usual suspects crew.
And two substitute teachers.
Two fill-in hosts.
We're just trying to hold down the class, make sure no one does anything too bad. Couple little interesting news notes to get to. Eli Apple, as reported by Ian Rappaport, has been suspended by the Giants. Nick told us that during the break. That's interesting, considering it was Landon Collins making the comments.
That he's a cancer.
But it leads some credence to the, maybe Eli Apple is a cancer. Why would he be the one getting suspended for
Landon
Collins?
Maybe he's the one
comments?
Starting stuff, you think?
Maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah. Landon Collins, as I know him, is not super out in the media guy, so for him to actually go out and say something like that, he's a different kind of thinker. This is the dude who at the Army All-American Bowl put on Alabama gloves, being from Baton Rouge, and mama was not having it.
Do you have any idea how frustrating that was?
Yeah,
to have him in our backyard, and he's basically I can't remember exactly where he's from. But then, back door, little known fact, the following year, his brother went to Florida.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
Mama really ain't happy with the kids.
Same game. Oh, brother went to Florida.
That's tough. I don't feel too bad for you as an LSU fan. John Makovic thought Drew Brees was too small to play at Texas.
And he grew up in Austin.
In Austin Westlake. So, I don't feel bad for you on that one, really.
It is what it
at
is.
At all. Let's talk a little college football because starting next Monday, the playoffs are upon us.
The ones that really count.
God, there's so many bowl games and
it just takes forever to get to the freaking playoff. I can't stand that.
Can we go to 8 games or 8 teams and play last weekend, the first round of the playoffs?
I would love nothing more than that because you're never going to please everybody because when you have 4 teams, you got the 5th and the 6th team like Ohio State, and for whatever reason, USC fans think that they should have had a shot at it. But you got them, they're crying about missing out. If you go to 8, you'll have teams 9, 10, and 11 crying about missing out.
Someone's always going to cry about missing out. It's always going to happen.
Exactly.
What I think they should do, and we can get into this like in depth tomorrow because we'll be back, but if it were me, I'd go to 6. That way, all the 5 conference champions get in, the Power 5 conference champions, and either an undefeated non-Power 5 or the next best team.
Right.
Just do that, and then the top 2 teams get a bye. It's not fair. Some teams don't have to play again. I don't care. Give them a bye.
Right.
I don't want to hear it.
And make sure that the Power 5, all 5 Power 5 conferences must have a championship game to determine a true champion.
And I'd also make the SEC go to a 9-game conference season. That 8-game conference season with that late season Division I AA team is
when
terrible.
You're playing Mercer, yeah. like Alabama did yeah. in week 10 or 11 or whatever it is of the season. You know, and the thing is, we were talking about that earlier in the SEC. They have a very demanding style of football that all of those teams play. Not going to say that they're, you know, the three clouds of dust, again, not to repeat myself, but they have such a tough conference that they do play in. Why wouldn't they want to add an extra game to that schedule? It boosts your schedule, your strength of schedule.
Well, they don't want an extra chance for Alabama to lose a second game.
Right.
And not make it into the playoff. And that's what they're looking for. And it's all fine and good. But if we're going to talk about a playoff where the most deserving teams get in, every team, at least in the Power Five, needs to play the same number of conference games. It's the only fair way to make sure.
Right.
And let's not act like we're adding an extra SEC West game for SEC West teams. You're playing someone from the East in that extra game. SEC East is trash.
They haven't been good historically.
No.
Ever since they split them up into the two divisions, that
Florida
SEC
was
East
good in the
mid-2000s,
but Tennessee hasn't been Tennessee anytime this millennium. South Carolina has had flash-in-the-pan years. As I said, Florida during the Tebow years and the Chris Leak years were good enough to win national titles and get, I should call them the Urban Meyer years. That's a better description of what they were.
There you go.
But in Georgia, until this year, is a perennial disappointer.
Georgia is always that one team. It's like when you graduated from high school and you had that one kid who's voted most likely to be successful or going to be going to be doing great things. And then you meet him at the reunion and they're like,
he's a crackhead.
Yeah. And look, I mean, that might be going a little
I wasn't
going
to go. Right.
I wasn't
going to go.
I was trying to get both sides of the spectrum.
But Kirby Smart,
you know, he's like the manager at a Chick-fil-A, and you thought that he was going to go on and be a CEO of a company,
right,
or something.
Right, right.
Kirby Smart has largely fixed that. Georgia's in the playoffs. They'll take on Oklahoma. I think it's the best matchup of the two games, personally.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also the one most likely, and I don't think it's very likely, but most likely to end in a blowout.
Definitely. Out of the two games, and you and I, we talked about this pre-show. If Baker Mayfield gets hot and he starts torching that defense and putting up points.
Well, the weak link of the Georgia defense is the defensive backfield.
And what does Oklahoma do best?
Baker Mayfield gets going. Where Georgia's equalizer comes in this game is Oklahoma likes the big play.
Yep.
Oklahoma's defense doesn't get a lot of breaks on the sideline. Georgia's going to run it down your throat for four quarters, regardless of what the score is. If it's a close game in the fourth quarter, which I think it very well could be, and that OU defense is winded because a bunch of short drives from the offense, you are going to see Nick Chubb take over.
Definitely. And like we said before the show, if they can keep the game close enough within one score, I'd say under seven. Seven or under, however you want to call it. That's when that offensive line and Nick Chubb will start to lean on Oklahoma's front seven a little bit more. Drop those safeties down. You know, have those corners come into press man coverage to see if they can help also stop the run. And that's when I think that Georgia can actually hit them with the play action pass and get them on a big play.
Yep.
But if Oklahoma can somehow find a way like you said, to kind of prolong those drives, draw it out.
Be willing to take what's over the middle. Feed Rodney Anderson.
Exactly.
Let him eat. Let him go. And Georgia's defensive line is great. Rodney Anderson is going to have a tough time finding space, but we know how the run game works. It takes time. You wear people down. You find holes later in games, unless you just are able to overpower, which won't be the case in this game.
Right.
So they can definitely get in. The reason I say I think it's going to be the closest game of the two because I think it's going to play out where Oklahoma does get – it's going to be high scoring. Oklahoma does get some quick drives, but Georgia will be able to grind the clock and keep things close. But if Baker Mayfield really gets rolling, the only way it's a blowout is if Oklahoma blows Georgia out. That's the only way it's a blowout. Georgia, their offense isn't capable of blowing Oklahoma out.
Real quick, time of possession – which is the main thing that we're discussing here, kind of. Georgia was actually 19th in the country at 32 minutes and 9 seconds a game. Oklahoma, 25th, 31 minutes and 44 seconds a game.
A little better, but we're talking about Big 12 football where it's a score a minute. So
right.
It's a lot of high scoring games right. where they have to. And that's not to say Oklahoma's incapable of making long 10-play, 7-minute drives. They can do it, but they're going to try and hit you for the big shots. That's what they're going to do. So that's what it is. Alabama Clemson, I just think Clemson's better. Well, I just think Clemson's better.
Here's the thing. When you look at those two teams, you look at them on the defensive side of the football. Let's just start there.
Clemson is their defensive, their front seven, their front four is just silly.
They have the type of team where Clemson can rush four, drop seven in pass coverage, or drop six and spy one on Jalen Hurts to make sure he doesn't get too crazy running out of the backfield, elongating plays like he's been known to do. You can drop six, spy one, rush four. And if you can contain Alabama's run game and put them into situations where you're forcing Jalen Hurts into third and sevens, third and nines, third and elevens, you know, if you can put them behind the sticks, that's how you beat that team. You force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball. You don't load the box and force them to do it that way. You just play your gaps, play good assignment football, and put them behind the down and distance markers.
Yep. I mean, that's pretty much the breakdown. That's a real quick, Jalen Hurts had a better season this year than most people are giving him credit for. He played really well. And one thing he does, doesn't turn over the football.
He's smart with the football. I like also the fact that he put on some weight from last year to this year. He's up to closest 215, 220 or so.
Yeah. Well, one more segment left in the day. He got us back again tomorrow on the radio. And I don't know if they're back Friday. I don't know what the schedule
is. Friday, we're running the A&M game, the bowl game.
The
Belkin Bowl, I think, is what it's called.
The Belk Bowl.
Belk Bowl.
There. Good Twitter follow, Belk Bowl, by the way.
Is it really?
It's a good Twitter follow. That's pretty good. One more segment when we come back. Craig, Jermaine, Nick, it's the usual suspects on ESPN Radio.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Last segment on day one of two with myself, Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every, Nick Sciarra on the usual suspects. It's been fun. This has been a good show. Good feedback.
Flew by.
Had a good burger discussion in hour one that spanned two segments.
You're not going to be sponsored by In-N-Out anytime soon,
no,
Craig.
No, that's not going to happen.
Hey, but I wouldn't mind if I got one of those, what that guy called it, one of those orange jumpsuit t-shirts.
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
Whataburger?
I think it was Prison Yard.
Prison Yard, whatever he called it.
Someone tweeted into me, and I forgot to mention this. The nail in the coffin for the discussion is you don't see Yeti making an In-N-Out cup for one of their tumblers. There's a Whataburger one.
Bingo.
Oh, didn't know that.
There is a Whataburger one.
I should have thought of that when he threw that t-shirt comment at you.
It came after. I didn't have it before. Yeah, I know. I wish. But they're also making soft coolers in the Whataburger colors, from what I understand. So
those things have really blown up. I mean, I have one, like a smaller version of it, but
it's just so expensive. I don't.
It's ridiculously expensive. Here's another one. In-N-Out doesn't have their salad dressing in stores.
Ooh, that's true. Let's be honest. Thousand Island is ketchup, mayonnaise, and a little bit of pickle relish.
Pretty much.
That's what it is. So one other thing we got to touch on, we talked about earlier in the show. Academy Sports and Outdoors has responded to the Dick's fiasco, and your Houston Astros World Series gear is now 50% off at Academy Sports and Outdoors.
So wait, can I go and return those two t-shirts?
I bet you can. I bet you they would honor it.
I bet you they would.
If you got the receipt and the tickets on that, I think they would honor it. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think they would.
You could definitely return it, go and pick the same shirts out from the deal and rebuy them for 50% off. That's a lot of hassle. If you go to customer service and say, hey, I'd like to do this, will you just refund the difference? They might do that.
I don't see why they wouldn't do like a store credit or something like that. Why they wouldn't.
Clearly, they're willing to keep in your good graces, unlike a certain other green-colored sporting goods store.
And you know what? I don't like Dick's anyway, because I went to buy myself some tennis shoes from there the other day, and they didn't have my size, which it typically happens, but still.
What size are you?
13.
Oh, they no, 13 is common enough. I wear a 12 or a 13 depending upon the shoemaker.
Yeah, yeah.
And 13 is common enough to where they should always have a 13 in a major big box athletic wear store.
I don't have big foot problems. You guys got some big feet, though.
Yeah.
I wear 10 and a half.
I got Fred Flintstone feet in the words of my wife. I got some big feet.
It's hard to find clothes like when you're my height or whatever because you get an extra large and it looks like it's medium.
Right.
And you raise your arms and everybody sees my stomach and stuff. If you get a 2X, then it looks like I'm a fat guy who lost a ton of weight.
Yeah, it looks like you're wearing a muumuu.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like I have to find like, and my mom, she did great. Shouts out to mom because she found me some extra large talls.
There
so
you
now
go.
It fits right on. So, you know, it's big guy problems.
I feel you.
He's like, I completely relate. That's all I could say.
I don't have the height problem. I mean, I'm 6'1". I'm not short.
Right.
But I don't have the height problem you have. But I'm not a double X. And depending upon the make, I'm an XL.
Right.
And sometimes an XL is not enough. But I don't wear double XLs. Like, it's just, I'm swimming in them.
And see, that's what I keep trying to stress. I'm like, babe, look, if I wear an extra large, especially because I like T-shirts, I can't wash it. Because if I wash it, it's now going to be a large or a medium, and I'm going to have to give it to my son. And sooner or later, I'm not even going to be able to give it to him because he's already 6 feet tall. And it's just, it's ridiculous when you're this height and you can't find clothes that fit you properly. It's a bad thing about being tall.
No, I understand. I'm with you.
First world problems.
First world problems. First world problems yesterday on Raheel, and we were talking about the is Die Hard a Christmas movie, which we can put that to rest. It's a Christmas movie, so
it is.
It's
just stop it.
Yeah, let's just be done with it. 713-780-3776. You can talk to the Blitz guys about that because we're about to be done here. You're welcome, Fred and AJ. Y'all can handle that one. And then Raheel made the case for Bodak Yellow being a Christmas song because it has come to its pop culture height during the Christmas season.
You're talking about the Cardi B track?
Yes.
Yeah. I still have yet to, I just wasn't just surprised by the fact that she had, you know, she called it Bodak Yellow. Like, I just think that's kind of.
Well, she called it that because it was a, she made it or something about that with the other rapper Kodak Black.
Right.
It was some kind of excuse why she named it that because of something he said or did or whatever.
I guess good for her. She's capitalizing off of it now.
I mean, she's fine. I saw her on Fallon or I rewatched it with Sean. She was entertaining. The song's terrible.
Yeah.
The song. Look, I consider myself a bit of a hip hop head.
Yeah.
And we're going to discuss this tomorrow. We decided we're going to do top five MCs tomorrow. On the show, we're going to discuss that. I'm sure we won't get any calls about that at all.
And tacos. Don't forget tacos.
Oh, we're going to do Mexican
Please
food
do
as well.
Tacos and what did y'all coin it? Tacos and what is it? Top MCs? Isn't that what you said?
Tacos
what he said.
And top MCs. Tacos and
y'all
top
should
MCs.
Coin it that way.
Yeah, we're going to do tacos and top MCs tomorrow. But, man, new rap just doesn't do it for me. Kendrick Lamar is great. He's great.
Yeah, J. Cole.
J. Cole is fine. I'm a big Childish Gambino fan. I think he's very good.
I got to get into more of his music. I haven't been listening to much of it.
He's different sounding. The one thing he does is every album sounds completely different than the previous album. So that's something I like. But it's just new rap just doesn't do it for me for the most part.
I tend to think that they can coexist. And there's still enough lyricists, like you guys mentioned two of them. I mean, Kendrick Lamar, I think he's a lyricist of this era.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
He's an old soul for this era.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I think his age is right. I mean, I think he's like pushing 30 or he's like 29. So I think it's a perfect age. And the fact that he's a lyricist. But, I mean, I think they can coexist. I think there's room for both people like, you know, hip-hop artists like, I don't know, like a Lil Yachty. And then you go all the way to the other side of the spectrum. And
where I'm coming from on it, I'm not knocking that. Get your money by all means. You're an artist. You know, that's the type of music you want to make. That's fine. It's just not for me.
If you didn't sell out as a musical artist, it's because you never had the opportunity. I'm sorry. If you didn't go take money at some point in your career, it's because that opportunity never came calling. At some point, you got to take care of yourself. And there's room in the world for club banger rap at the same time as there is room for lyrically redeeming rap.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's been that way forever. There's been Lil Jon at the same time. I mean, this is a bad example, but at the same time, T.I. was doing his thing.
Right.
T.I. is more lyrically redeeming. Lil Jon's just trying to make bangers.
Right. Yeah. There's all sorts of different types. I mean, you have, you know, like you said, you have your club bangers. You have lyrically redeeming. You have, you know, storytellers. You have, you know, just straight lyricists. You have all different battle rappers. I mean, there's so much in that genre of hip hop that, like Nick said, I think there's room for everybody under that umbrella. It's just what part of that, you know, what part of the umbrella do you want to stand under? And that's where, you know, it's okay to be different. It's okay to, if you want to be a quote-unquote mumble rapper, if that's what you want to do and that's the music you make, that's fine. That's just not for me. And it sounds like it's not for Craig. Yeah,
not so much. The true greats will bridge the gap between all of them.
Right.
The one thing that made Eminem so smart is that he would always release the one poppy song on the radio before his album dropped to get the mainstream interested in it, because he knew people who loved hip hop and lyrics were going to buy it anyway.
Right.
And at least with his first three albums.
And then when you got into those first three albums and you started listening, you were like, whoa,
yeah,
some dark stuff here.
Definite dark stuff there. Man, it's been a good one today. It has flown by. It has been an absolute pleasure to be here. We've got to thank Barry and Joel for choosing to take the day off, of course.
And if that was Barry trolling us, we've got to thank you for that trolling call, Barry Lamb. Hey, we'll find out who it is. We'll get to the bottom of it.
We got top-notch people, top men looking over what it is. It's just Nick. Nick's looking into it.
He's on the case.
I was wondering who you're referring to there. Like, ain't no, there's nothing top level about me.
You are the top man. Man, it has been a pleasure to do this. We will be back tomorrow. On behalf of Jermaine Every, Nick Sharara, it's been a blast. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.